Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with a message titled, God's Strongman Competition. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God's Strongman Competition.
To share it this morning on this Father's Day. And really, this is a message. The message that I'm going to preach is not just for men, but it's for women also. For you to be able to examine and look at what a strong man looks like. And it's my hope and my desire that that grandmothers would buy this CD and give it to their grandsons, that you would give it to some man that you know is struggling, or some man that just needs to know what is expected of him. And I'm not talking about above and beyond. I'm just talking about what does God, look for in men in general. So I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, God's strongman competition. God is looking for some strong men. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. God's strongman competition. It is said that the perfect man, the perfect woman, and Santa Claus got in an accident. And there was only one survivor. And they were trying to figure out, when they told this story, who actually survived. And they said, well, it wasn't Santa Claus because he's not real. And it wasn't the perfect woman, so it must have been the perfect man, because there's no such thing as a perfect man. So, okay. Y'all missed it. All right, I'm trying to wait for my slide to come up. It's not. All right, it's coming. See, I got to find a way to, to let. How about this? Why do mothers cry at their weddings, at their daughters' weddings? Why do mothers cry at their daughters' weddings? Because they're marrying somebody like their father. All right, you need to save me back there. You need to save me. All right. Well, let's just roll on. God has a strongman competition for every man. And it's not competing against another person, but it's competing against yourself. It is God's competition for an individual to be a strongman in their home. Now, as we look at God's strongman competition, there is one thing that I want to say, and that is that weaklings need not apply. That if you are somebody that's weak, and I'm not talking about weak physically, but I'm talking about weak from a manhood standpoint, then you do not need to apply. Because first of all, God is looking for strong husbands and strong fathers. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. God is looking for strong fathers and strong husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so a strong husband is somebody that will love his wife like Christ loved the church. And not only that, but a strong man is a father who will take the time to spend time with his children. And look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so God is looking for strong men. Now, this is Pastor Glaze, so you can get mad at me if you want to. But I think that any man that would put his hands on a woman is not a strong man. As a matter of fact, I think that any man that would put his hands on a woman is actually a weakling. And so God is not looking for somebody who is toned up, buffed up, and can lift a bunch of weights. But God is looking for men who will be strong in their homes, strong husbands, and strong fathers. You see, God built the home around the man. You got that slide? All right. Next one. All right, did you get my? God built the home. There you go right there. All right. God built the home around the man. Now, first of all, we see that it clearly says in Scripture that the man was created first. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 and 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. We see that man was created first. Now, the second thing we see in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, that man is the backbone of the home. That the home rises and falls on male leadership according to God's design. And then we see that man is the strength of the home. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says that the wife is the weaker vessel. Now, that doesn't mean that she's weak emotionally or spiritually or mentally in any way like that. But what Peter is trying to say is that the wife is the more delicate vessel in the home, that she is the more delicate one. And so the husband is to be the strength of the home. So God built the home around the man. Now, if you go to the next slide. Now, this blows my mind, that even before he created anybody else, before he created the woman and before he created the children. Now, I just want to say, anybody that wants this PowerPoint presentation, just let me know and I'll email it to you. So you can let me know on your way out or slip me a piece of paper and I'll make sure you get it. But look at all the things that was in the man before anybody else was created. First, he was a leader. God created the man to be the leader. And so when the husband does not take the leadership in the home, the leadership is out of whack. Secondly, he was a teacher. That God gave the man instructions. And put down besides Genesis 2, 8, and 9, Genesis 2, 16 and 17, where God gave the man instructions. He told Adam that there was a tree of the good of knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not to eat from the tree. He gave him instructions. And what was Adam supposed to do with those instructions? He was to teach everybody else that came after. He was a teacher. He was the provider. Nobody else was around. And he had to provide. He worked the garden. And so he was the sole provider. We see that man was the cultivator. He was to be the cultivator of those around him. He dressed the garden. Man was the protector. In Genesis 2:15, he was to protect the garden. And then man was the visionary. You know, and it blows my mind to think that Adam named every animal. Now, you think of the millions of animals that are on the face of the earth. And I don't know how many there were at that time, but he named every last one. And the biggest thing was not that he named them, but that he remembered what he called them. You know, that's what captivates me. That's what grabs my attention. And so look at this. I just want us to think And look at this, before anybody else was on the face of the earth, this was what man was designed and created to do.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. I would like for you to join me on Tuesday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m. as we deal with the topic creation versus evolution. Did God create the beginning of all things, or have they evolved? Why don't you join me as we talk about the Big Bang Theory, as we deal with atheism, as we talk about Noah's flood, and we will deal with so much more that your questions will be entertained also. So join us on Tuesday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m. for our Facebook Live event as we talk about evolution and creation. God bless you today.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
Now, you know, there's a song that I was, and I know by me quoting the song, I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I just don't know how he got away with singing the song back in his day. James Brown, right? He said, it's a man's world. So, I didn't hear too many people protesting about him singing that song back in the day. But truly at this time, because when James sang it, it wasn't a man's world, you know, that there was equality and freedom and, you know, women deserved everything that they had. So, James, I got to disagree with you on that one. But right here, if James would have sang that song, he'd have been absolutely right. It was a man's world before anybody came along. And then as we move on, we see that God began to build the home around him. If you go to that next slide, that God placed the woman to be the helpmeet. And she was to be there to support the man that God created. Now, somebody said something, and I thought it was very interesting. They said that woman came from man's rib, not his feet to be walked upon, not from his head to be superior, but from his side to be equal, under the arm to be protected, and next to his heart to be loved. I like that right there. I like that. That woman came from man's rib, not his feet to be walked on, not his head to be supervisor, but from his side to be equal, under the arm to be protected, and next to the heart to be loved. And so as God begins to expand the home, we see that he blesses them with children. So again, the home is based around the man. And God put the woman and the children. And the children's job in the home is to respect and obey the parents, according to Exodus chapter 20 and Ephesians chapter 6. Now look at this picture right here. I want you to get a good look at this picture. And I want to say, the devil hates that picture. He hates that picture. And in our society today, we see that he's doing everything that he can to destroy this concept that was designed by God. Now, the problem is when, and if you go to the next slide, the problem is that in many homes, the man is missing. Now, think about all the things that I just got finished saying. That the man was there, the man was self-sufficient in himself, God built the home around the man, and when a man is not in the home, a very significant part of the foundation is missing. We thank God for that person in the middle, because we know in many situations, she has to be mother and father. We thank God for that person in the middle, because we know on many occasions she has been the backbone, who has been the foundation of the home and who has carried the home. And so we thank God that in a day when God's design is being attacked, and in a day when God's design is being torn down, that we have mothers who are stepping up to the plate and filling in as best as they can. And we thank God for them. So, fathers, I would say, let's give the mothers a hand this afternoon. Amen. Amen. Let's give the mothers a hand, because many times that ball has been dropped. And so God is looking for a strong man. He's looking for somebody who will stand up in the home. He's looking for somebody that he can trust. If you go to the next slide, look what it says here. Back. All right. Look what it says here. The Lord said about Abraham, he said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." What is God looking for? God is looking for a man that he can trust. He's looking for a man who will be in the home, that will exercise his commandments, that will allow his family to follow after him, and that he will lead them in the way that God has ordained. So God is looking for a strong man in the home. And sad to say that sometimes even the men that are in the homes are not being the strong men that they should be. But they've abdicated their responsibility. You know, there was a man, he had abdicated his responsibility, and his wife was basically head of the home. He decided one night that he was going to take charge. He was coming back and he was going to take things over. And he told his wife, he said, "I'm going out tonight, and guess who's going to lay out my suit? Guess who's going to put on my shoes? And guess who's going to comb my hair?" And his wife said, "Yeah, I know, the Undertaker." So God is looking for some strong men in the home. Now, my message is actually based on a event, and it's called the Strong Man Competition. And there are many events in this Strong Man Competition, and so we want to look at them, and then based on that, make some analogy about what God is looking for in the home. So that's what I'm saying. See, that's why I think that even the ladies that are here today, that you have sons and grandsons and nephews that don't know this stuff that I'm talking about. And so you might need to get the CD and give it to them so that they can hear what it's like. So God's strong man competition. The first thing we see is that there's the African stone. The African stone. And athletes pick up a stone weighing over 400 pounds, and they carry it as far as they can. Competitors can be disqualified for dropping the stone on the ground or stepping out of their lane. That they can be disqualified for dropping the stone. If that man drops that stone, then he's out. He's disqualified. They have to walk in a lane. If he steps over the line, he's disqualified. And so what we see today is that a lot of men have disqualified themselves from being God's strong man. If you go to that next slide. You see, God ordained men to be the leader, the provider, the warrior, the lover, the healer, and the protector. These are God-ordained roles. And so, if you're here today and you're not married, and you think that one day, you know, I'm probably going to get married, I'm looking for a husband, then you ought to see these things in that individual. Now, again, up here, there's nothing that says about him leading the devotion or leading in prayer, even though I think that that should be something that he does. Mainly, these are things that any man should be doing. So this is what you need to look for. And men, this is what God has called us to. God has called us to be the leader, But men somehow have disqualified themselves because many men have become dictators. And they want to run things. And they want to overpower people in the home. God never called the man to be the dictator. He called him to be the leader. God called the man to be the provider. But how many situations do we see today that men are devouring? Y'all hear about situations all the time of men living with a woman who got kids, who's receiving federal assistance, and he's shacking up with her, devouring government money. All right, man. I need a couple deacons up here. I might get attacked. Man, the man is supposed to be the provider. One lady said, well, one man said to his wife, he said, you don't make biscuits like my mom. And she said, well, you don't bring home the dough like my dad. The man is supposed to be the provider. Now, I know we live in an egalitarian society where, you know, women work in a lot of situations that women make more money than men. I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I think that it should fall back on the husband, and he's the one that makes sure that the house is provided for. Now, whether he stays at home or goes out and work, he needs to make sure. If his wife is the one that goes to work, then it's his responsibility, if not his wife's, it's his responsibility to make sure that his home is provided for. And so we need to understand that. And men need to understand that. Young men that are growing up are teenage boys, teenage young men. They need to understand that you are the provider and that you are the one responsible for making sure that your home has been provided for. The man is to be the warrior. He's to be the warrior that stands strong. But how many times a day do we see men walking around as victims? Well, you know, my daddy was this, and my mama did this. Walking around angry, walking around victimized. You know, I, at this Man Up conference, there was a guy there, he played in the NFL. And he said, he was telling how that his father was in jail and his mother was on drugs. And he was raised by his grandparents. And then he went on to, you know, just talk about even there was some issues even with them. And then he said when he got in the NFL, he's making all this money, he still wasn't happy. And he went back and he started blaming all the people in his past. And you know what he said when he got saved, what happened? He said, God took away my victim card. God took away my victim card. We got men whining. You don't need to be whining. You are a warrior, brother. You need to stand up and you need to stand strong. And you need to be able to fight for the things that are right in your home and with your family. You are the fighter. You are the warrior in your home. Men are to be lovers, right? God created us to say, you're my first, you're my last, you're my everything, and the answer to all my dreams. You're my sun, my moon, and my guiding star. You're some kind of wonderful. That's what you are. Men were created to be lovers. Men were created to woo women and bring them, bring out the best in them. But you know, you see so many men, they bring out the worst in women, right? And God has called men to be.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God's Strong Man Competition. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God's Strong Man Competition, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Strong Man Competition. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Strong Man Competition, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.